When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined with Sim Longa. Sim, how are you doing today?
Doing all right, man. I think the nerves about Saturday are already starting to kick in, though.
Already. And we'll get into it, obviously, throughout this podcast and really break things down. But I think the nerves are there just because of how big of a game this is. And really kind of will set the tone, I feel like, for this season. But we'll get into it more. We're going to turn the page from Notre Dame. Let's go ahead and just erase that game from everybody's memory. It never happened. As far as I'm concerned,
I don't even like sports, so like I don't know what that is.
So the Boilermakers get ready to head out west, and they will travel to the state of Oregon and take on the Oregon State Beavers Saturday night. It is a 8:30 Eastern kickoff, and Oregon State Sim is kind of in a pretty similar spot that the Boilermakers are in. They're coming off a game which they played one of their in-state rivals. And much like how we joked about, let's forget about the Purdue-Notre Dame game, it's kind of a game that Oregon State would like to forget as well, losing to Oregon 49-14.
Yeah, no, they definitely Civil War took place a little earlier this year, which is kind of weird. Had to remember 08, like with the conference changes and stuff like that. But yeah, they got thoroughly worked by Oregon, so I'm sure that they themselves are probably eager to get back on the field and kind of wash that taste out of their mouths.
So it'll be kind of an interesting game. Before we dive into it, I stumbled across this little bit of trivia, courtesy of the Purdue game notes. And let's see, Sim, let's test your football knowledge real quick. So Purdue is one of two teams to have both Oregon and Oregon State on their schedule this year. Can you name the other team? I'll give you a hint. It's not a Big Ten team.
Oh, okay. Ooh, not a Big Ten team. I don't know. I'll say like San Diego State then.
It is going to be Boise State. Is the other team.
Oh, okay. So they must play later this year then.
So there you go. When you guys are watching the game this weekend with your friends, drop that little bit of trivia on them and you'll look like a genius. But anyways, let's look at the Purdue team here, Sim, and kind of my big question after two games, and I think it's probably everybody's question right now, is who exactly is this Purdue team? I don't think you can take much away from either game. You know, beating the brakes off of Indiana State is something that they should have done. Losing to Notre Dame is something that was expected if you follow spreads and what everybody said. Probably not how they – I don't think anybody thought.
The way that they lost, I think, obviously, as we talked about, that's what was unexpected. But in terms of looking at the schedule, yeah, like you looked at Notre Dame game and you're like, okay, yeah, they probably will lose that.
But I don't think you could take much away from it. So I guess as we turn the page here, game three, and I think it's a major question mark, is what kind of identity is this Purdue team going to have?
Absolutely, man. Like you said, like, those games were such polar opposites. You don't really know, like, what are you going to get week in and week out from this Purdue team? You know, are we going to be a team that's more leaning on the run? Are we going to be a team that's more, you know, that, you know, beats you through the air? You just, you kind of don't know, like, what are the things that we hang our hat on? I'd say on both sides of the ball too. But yeah, well, you just, those are some answers that we need to start getting now. We need to, you know, hopefully we can start to figure out, okay, this is what this Purdue team is. This is what I can expect.
Yeah. And I think that's really, I think it's one thing just, you know, that's what's got everybody so anxious about this game is like, nobody really knows what to expect, and kind of see how this team is going to respond after literally getting punched in the, you know, knocked out. You know, how do they get back up and bounce back, travel all the way across the country, and get ready for a game against a team realistically that they should beat, but according to Vegas, they are 4.5-point dogs. So, you know, how do you think this team is going to respond through all of this, one? And then two, I'm kind of the impression that if there was ever a time to go out on the road and go out west, now is kind of like the perfect time, kind of get away from campus. I'm sure the vibes are not that great right now. And you know, you can kind of almost like mentally reset and really focus on this game traveling out west, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah, and it's in its own way, this trip actually might be coming at the perfect time. you have an opportunity, like you said, you know, it was like you didn't have a bye after this. So, you get the chance to immediately go back out and play. But the fact that it's, you know, across the country, you know, all the way across the country, it can very much so be a moment for this team, a bonding moment for this team of like, okay, well, look, we got to pack the bags and this is a business trip. It's us against, you know, it's us against everybody else. And really a time for them to be able to gel and come together in a way that maybe they haven't been, you know, before now. Cause you can really look at this like, okay, look, we're going to go to war. I'm going to war with my brothers, you know, looking at the person to your left and right. And hopefully, you know, go into Oregon State and come out there with a win. Cause I think that's something too, like you're able to do that under these type of, I guess, adverse, circumstances in terms of what you're coming off of last week. And then obviously coming on the road, playing against a team who's probably going to be eager to get back in the win column. There's a lot that's the deck seems like it's kind of stacked against you. So if you're kind of able to come together and, you know, gel together and be able to get this win, that's something that I think can really have some staying power going forward the rest of the season, you know?
Yeah. And I think one thing not to get overlooked too, is I see like a lot was like, oh, all right, well, they'll head out there and it's almost like a get right game. Oregon State's not a team to take for granted. I don't think you can take anybody for granted after you get your ass whooped, like how they just got beat up and down the field.
Right.
But I think one thing that kind of jumps out, and you can probably speak to it more having looked at some of the Oregon State stats and kind of breakdowns of their games, but one of their strengths seems to be one weakness that really got exposed last week.
Yep. Just from looking at the game stats, they very much so seem like a team that is very, very run dominant. In their first two games prior to the Oregon game, they had 350 yards. And then 350 yards, 372 or something like that in their first game. And then they had 272 in their second game. That was against San Diego State. So they very much so seem like they're a team who's going to run the ball, which, yeah, as you mentioned, like especially after last week. And I know we said we were going to turn the page on it, but, you know, keep referencing it. But obviously after last week, you know, that's a big concern. And so it's going to be an immediate test. It's going to be an immediate test to see, okay, what have they learned from last week? What type of changes have we made? Something I told you offline, show me that you've seen the tape. Show me that you've watched it. Because I'm sure Oregon State is going to try to really run the ball, and even more so after I'm sure what them watching the tape themselves, they're gonna be really, really trying to establish that run game, control the clock, control the tempo. And so yeah, we have to we're gonna see if the defense is up to the task.
Yeah, most definitely. And we'll look into the offense and the defense and kind of what we want to see this weekend here in a sec. But I did just want to touch on one thing that, regardless of the outcome, regardless of who you're playing, regardless of where the game at, is that one thing that has to get fixed immediately is the freaking penalties. This is a team that has been penalized 18 times already in two games. Which is the most by any team who's played just two games this season. And that is a thing that, like, there's just no excuse for. And it has to be corrected immediately. And it seems like a lot of these penalties are, like, huge, 15-yarders. I feel like very rarely is it like in offsides when it's 3rd and 25.
Right.
It's
right.
always ones.
They're all meaningful penalties.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're all meaningful penalties, or extending drives, or they're making it from where you're going from a 3rd and 8. Even the timeliness of it. So, like, even if they do get a 5-yard penalty, it was like, oh, well, it was 3rd and 7. And then you get a 5-yard penalty, and now it's 3rd and 2, which obviously we know. The opposition that opens up more of the playbook in terms of what you can do. So absolutely, like, the penalties, like, you have to nip that in the bud immediately.
Yeah, it has to be cleaned up. And just to kind of piggyback off that, like, how many times have we seen, either at the start of like a huge drive or after the offense seems to have gotten some momentum, they get to midfield and then get tagged for a holding penalty, and it just throws everything off. So that is going to be one thing that I'm really going to look at, is how do you get that cleaned up? Because, I mean, quite frankly, 18 in two games is just unacceptable, and you're not going to win very many games by committing that many penalties.
Absolutely.
So let's get that cleaned up, and then let's look to the offense. What do you want to see from this offense? I got a feeling I'm going to guess it's going to start in the trenches, but what do you want to see come this weekend in Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, right. It starts in the trenches. You want to see the line perform better in really all facets. You want to see them be able to run block. You want to see them be able to, give Card time to pass. And I think from that, it's kind of like, that's the seed that can allow the offense. Like, if we're talking in a metaphor of it being like a plant that allows, this thing to really grow, because if they're able to protect and give Card some time, obviously I also want to see from the wide receivers, I'd like to see a couple guys who step up. And just, hey, look, like, we're able to get separation, kind of, hey, like, you can count on me, Hudson. But if the line's able to block, give him some time, then, Card, hopefully he's able to hit his receivers. And then also too, success, obviously, in the passing game or in the running game, it lends success to the other. So if you're able to kind of beat them up through the air, well, then obviously now, you can also be able to mix in that, the draw plays and delayed handoffs, the rushes to the edge, like, all that stuff that you just have more at your disposal in terms of what you're able to do. And especially when you think about how Oregon State likes to run the ball, it's important that we run the ball, because I think that I would imagine that our passing game is probably better than theirs. And so if we're able to run the ball, we can be the ones who kind of control the clock, and thus put them in a situation, assuming you're able to finish drop more, these drives off with scores and touchdowns, preferably. You put Oregon State more in a position where if they're not doing that, then they're going to find themselves having to throw it in the air. And then that bodes well for our defense in terms of their ability to get some turnovers, which, spoiler alert, that's what I'm going to mention for the defense.
Yeah, and just to kind of piggyback off that, I'm gonna be curious to see the running back rotation, because I think you're starting to see a little bit more Reggie Love. We talked about it last week, and I love, no pun intended, but I love the combo of Love and Maccabee. But I feel like you have to find one running back and let them get into some kind of rhythm, to help kind of generate that run game, and just seeing him early, and watching him at Illinois, I think Love is kind of that guy that needs to get into a rhythm, and then you could bring in Mock, and Mock's gonna hit some runs. Once that defense is wore down. And to me, I think that is the way that you establish the run there. And I think that's the way that is starting to lean just a little bit, is kind of let Love get going and then spell him with Mock once the defense kind of is wore down, and let Mock do his thing.
Yeah, and I also think too. I feel like Reggie Love just he runs harder, which isn't a knock at Maccabee, because obviously, like you said, like I'm with you. I'm a fan of that of those two as a combo, but Reggie Love seems like the guy who, like, yeah, if you can get him going and kind of you can get him going early, and yeah, be able to complement him with Maccabee, and then when you get into the fourth. Love seems like the guy who you can really hand the ball to, and in terms of like really being able to get those tough yards when if we're trying to get a long drive to really burn some clock. It seems as though that would be really kind of where his bag was is at. So yeah, I do think that you can't necessarily be like alternating running backs every play or every couple plays. I kind of feel like you kind of have to start off a drive, and if you have one running back who's doing well. You kind of ride them out, and of course, yeah, spell them for a play or two, and then get right back to it. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they kind of split the time, the snaps between those two.
Yeah, and I know you had said that you want to see a couple receivers kind of make that jump and kind of stand out. And one that I wanted to highlight that I'm really going to be watching is Cam Brown. Had one of the few highlights last week with the big 52-yard reception in his first game back. He missed the opener, and he's a guy that got a lot of preseason hype, and one that he made a big play last week, and that's what you want to do, that's what you want to see from the wide receivers. So him specifically is one that I really want to see, and of course we have talked about it before, but I think you're going to see a bounce back game for Max Clair as well. He's just too talented, and such he creates just so many mismatches at the tight end spot that I just feel like he's gonna have a bounce back game. And it kind of piggyback off that, I want to see how Hudson Card responds. He's been put, we talked about it. He had put up just insane numbers the past few games. And, everybody will point out the level of competition in those games. But he's got a real chance kind of himself to put kind of like a statement game out there to go out on the road and play well. And, he's going to be one that he's got to take care of the football. And he's gonna have to hit those big plays when they're there. And so I'm really interested to see how him and Cam Brown get another week of practice, and really kind of see how they look here, this weekend.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think for Cars, I feel like every weekend he has an opportunity to go out and show why he was so highly touted coming out of high school and like why, you know, why he found himself at Texas to begin with. Again, like not sitting here saying that he has to go out and throw for 350 yards and five touchdowns. That's not what I'm saying. But obviously, like you, like just like you mentioned, you know, taking care of the football, making the proper reads, getting us into, you know, getting us in our offense, continue, like, you know, and then making, you know, completing passes. And whether that's, I think that, you know, the shorter passes for him are, I think that's a way for him to get himself into a rhythm to where then you can, you know, be able to go over the top. But I think, yeah, I feel like every time he goes out, he has an opportunity to prove himself because yeah, like despite how good the numbers were, you know, like you said, people be like, well, it's been against inferior talent. And then when you run up against more superior talent, you know, he tends to struggle. And not saying that, you know, Oregon State necessarily is going to be like, you know, like top tier talent, but Oregon State, they're no slouch. So a good game against them again is something that it's a positive for Purdue. It's something that he can kind of take and try to use as a stepping point of like stacking good games together. And I just think it does. And obviously it does a lot for our offense in terms of him being able to spread the ball around and get it to different guys. I think this week, just like every week, is just another opportunity for him to really shine and show people what he's really about.
I would agree. All right, now let's switch over and flip sides to the defensive side. And obviously, they got to tackle better. I would think that we're gonna see improvement there. Quite frankly, because really, I would think you can only improve after last week. Hopefully, let's hope that that's the case.
They can get worse. I don't want to know that. Like, I don't want to know if there is a worse that
at all. Right. But obviously, that's where it starts. Especially to your point about how Oregon State is a team that is going to want to try to run the football. You got to tackle better and, you know, make the plays that you can. Like, there was just so many times, and it just infuriates me. You see a running back or a wide receiver 10 or 15 yards downfield, and a DB comes and tries to knock the ball out. And instead of just knocking the dude down, and dude gets five more yards because he's dragging him because dude more worried about trying to knock the football out than making the tackle. Make the simple plays, tackle better, and let's go from there. But I think obviously that's got to be step one when you're looking at the defense is how is this team going to come out and respond after last week?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, just like for the offense, the biggest thing for the defense is going to be the trenches. Like you said, Oregon State likes to run the ball. So, you know, if you're able to control the line of scrimmage, that's going to bode really well for you. But if you're not, it's going to be kind of the same of what we've seen before, where they're going to get tired, you know, with these long drives. And when you're running it that well for four quarters, like you can't expect them. I think when you get tired too, that's when even more so things like tackling become an issue, because when you're tired, you're not going to use proper form, proper technique. You're going to try to throw a shoulder when you should be actually trying to wrap a guy up and bring him down. And I understand, yeah, you do want to be able to force some turnovers. But like you said, if it's third and six and the guy runs around and he catches the ball past the sticks and it's a 10-yard reception, bring him down. Don't just tackle him, bring him down. We can regroup and we can kind of go from there. There were just so many missed tackles before. And, you know, that's how a solid play for an offense can turn into a big play is when you're not solidly tackling. So, you know, there's always kind of the first guy there. Hey, wrap him up. And, you know, and if you can't take him down yourself, wrap him up, hold him up, and then, you know, wait for the reinforcements to come to knock him down. But I think that's probably going to be the biggest thing is being able to control the line from a standpoint of not letting them get comfortable running the ball. Like, you have to make them try to throw it. That obviously that lends itself to a whole conversation about run discipline, excuse me, rush lane discipline, you know, making sure we set the edges, getting pressure. And, you know, pressure, you know, I think we were talking on Monday about how, you know, we don't have, like, we haven't been able to generate any turnovers. Obviously you want to get sacks, but also being able to just generate QB pressure, even when a quarterback is dropping back, that can be just as good in terms of like making a quarterback, you know, he gets happy feet, he's getting the ball out before he wants to. Those are all things that can contribute to, you know, to the success of the defense. Because if you're making a quarterback get rid of the ball before he wants to, or he's, you know, he's not properly set when he throws, that's when the ball goes a little high, goes a little long, whatever. And then whether that's just, hey, throws it out of bounds, so it's an incompletion, or throws it over, you know, throws it high and someone's able to pick it off. Again, that's all good things for us. But I think it all will start in the trenches.
Yeah. I agree. And go, you know, can they win on the early downs? You hear coaches talk about it all the time, but it's so true. Like, and that was one thing that really got away from them last week, was those early downs. And you know, Notre Dame was getting 8 yards a pop, and it just, they just couldn't get in a spot where they could make it uncomfortable for Riley Leonard. And I'd be really curious to see if that changes this week. And to kind of go with that, and as far as getting pressure, I wanted to see what your thoughts are, because I know we've talked about this a little bit. How long do you think Coach Walter sticks with Jenkins as a linebacker? And do you think he should be moved to edge? Because I know how I feel, but I want to see what your thoughts are first, and see how long this quote unquote experiment lasts, as a middle linebacker.
I personally feel like after what you saw last week, I think he should go back to being on the edge. And that's no disrespect to him, but just the number of times I feel like I saw him, you know, trying to hunt down, whether it was Riley Leonard or it was a running back, and just simply not having the foot speed to get there. If you see him out there, like in the same position, a linebacker, I would be stunned if Oregon State just didn't try to attack it right away. That seems to be an area of opportunity for an opposing offense. And so, again, yeah, this is kind of a bit of a foreshadowing to what I was going to talk about in terms of what I wanted to see from the coaching. But like I said earlier, like, show me that you watched the tape, show me that you saw it. Because as much as, you know, you want to try an experiment like that, moving him from edge to linebacker, at the end of the day, if it's something that's not improving your defense and it's becoming a notable target for an opposing offense, you have to make an adjustment. You have to. And it's not saying that he's not good enough to be on the floor, on the field, because that's not what I'm saying at all. It's just about making sure that you have guys in the best position to where you can maximize their skill set. And I don't believe that he's necessarily being maximized at that linebacker position. So I'm not saying that he shouldn't be on the field. I'm just saying that if we see him out there and he's in the linebacker position, that's going to give me some pause in terms of, okay, someone's got to explain to me why this is something we felt like we could continue to do after what you watched last week.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think the frustrating thing when you see it is KJ has proven like that he's a beast on the edge.
Right.
And if you have him and Held on opposite ends, to me, that just strengthens D-line. I don't know why that was so hard for me, but
I don't know. I'm going to get you some linguistics classes, though. Man, some Duolingo for English.
Something. But yeah, like, it just felt like the move weakened one area and didn't make another area excel. And he can be a guy that can really excel at the edge. And with him and Held there, I think is something that I would like to see them go back to. And I know that you had brought it up, so I want to just touch on it a little bit. And I don't want to go too far into the weeds, because I don't want to make it sound like this is like a must-win game. And if Walters loses this game, then he needs to be fired or anything like that. But I think you can make an argument that this is probably the most important game of his early coaching career, just to kind of see like how this team responds. And not only how does this team respond, but how do they respond to his coaching this week? Because he took a lot of blame for what happened last week and said, you know, that he's got to step it up and coach these guys better and have them better prepared. So, you know, are we going to see that? And, you know, I think it's going to speak volumes for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think I don't think he probably think coming in this year. I don't think he probably looked at the Oregon State game and thought it was probably going to have as the type of significance that I think it does have currently. But yeah, I think he does need to. You do need to see something from him, and you know, I lump in really the entire coaching staff, but obviously he's the head coach, so you know the buck stops with him per se. But no, I mean, yeah, you do need to see, like he took, like you said, he took so much of the blame for what happened. And so it's like, all right, well, if you're saying that, you know, you need to make sure these guys are more prepared and you have to make sure that, you know, like their performance, you know, is obviously it's a reflection of you. It's kind of like, all right, well, are we going to see him go from being kind of like a more stoic, kind of laid back to like, no, I'm starting to get in people's faces now? Because at the end of the day, man, like, you get judged as a head coach, it's wins and losses. That's what you get judged by. And so is this the time now where maybe he starts to have that sense of urgency in terms of like, nah, guys, we got to turn this around. We need to turn it around now. And, you know, I mentioned this on Monday about like how this kind of needed to be a pivot point in terms of really taking a moment to look at like, okay, how are we preparing? How are we practicing? Like, how are we doing some of the things to get us ready for a game? And are there some things that we need to be spending more time on, other things we need to be spending less time on? Those are all things that I think were up for discussion after last week. And so, yeah, I'm going to be looking at Walters as well, you know, obviously, like I said, with the entire coaching staff, and just trying to see, like, again, did you guys watch the tape? Did you watch the tape? And are you willing to make some of these, are you willing to make some tough decisions? Are you willing to bench guys who might have been starters, but just clearly aren't performing up to the level you expect? Are you going to be willing to make in-game adjustments if you see that something's not working? You know, if you're seeing that the offense is a bit stagnant, are you going to be willing to, hey, look, let's see if we can go with some tempo to see if that can kind of jumpstart things? You know, defensively, are you going to like bring some pressure, going to bring some blitz to try to generate a turnover, or try to generate a big play on defense? Just all those things you really want to see from the coaching staff of like, hey, have we kind of shifted our mindset into more of like, no, we have to be the hunter and not essentially coaching like you're the hunted.
Yeah. I think, you know, it would just be so interesting to see, because I feel like if he starts to coach, for lack of a better term, with more of a sense of urgency, then it's going to trickle down. And you're really going to see guys kind of play with that as well. Not that they weren't, you know, playing with that, but right, you know, it starts with him and kind of how he attacks it. And I think it's a great point that you made, like, he probably wasn't thinking week three he was going to be in this spot. Right. But you know, that's what happens when you have the outcome that you had last week. So real quickly, before we switch gears, I just wanted to get a couple of predictions out there. And I know we were way off last week. I think everybody was. So start clean this week. The Boilers, of course, are heading on the road, their first road test of the year. I think they're going to get it done. I think you're going to see a response from them. Like I talked about, I think you're going to see a big game from Hudson Card. I think it's going to be very close, though. And I think that it's going to be a low scoring game as well. I don't think there's going to be like a blowout, or, you know, teams going back and forth. I think both teams are going to try to control the line of scrimmage and really work that clock. And so I'm going to go with a Purdue win 20-17.
Yeah, I was thinking I saw what was it the over under for the game is 50 and a half, and I'm not necessarily someone who likes to take the under, but I feel like you said I think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game because of the fact that Oregon State likes to run, and I know that we are going to try to make sure that we are doing a fair share of running in addition obviously to passing as well. But yeah, I personally feel like it's going to be 17-13 Purdue. And that's just, again, that's, I know there's people listening to this and being like, why is he being so optimistic now? Cause I'm usually pessimistic by default, but I truly do think, I think that this is, I think, you know, I just, I have faith in the fact of like Walter's owning, like owning what took place last week and really him and the coaching staff. And I think even the players, like there's a sense of pride in terms of like, nah, man, like we can't go out like that. Like that's not, this isn't going to be us. And I think that I think the circumstance of just being out there in Corvallis on the road, it's just like it can really be an us versus them, us versus the world mentality. And I feel like we're able to get a couple turnovers. And I think it will require either a drive late to kind of put it away, like where it's like 14-13 and we get a drive to get some points. And then I think it's going to be like that. And then like the defense is able to just get a stop at the end, which I think would just be, it'd be really nice if that's the way that they were able to end it with like the offense going down and scoring and then the defense just shutting the door. Cause that's, you know, that's both sides of the ball, you know, contributing to get the job done. Like that would be a real team win and really give you a good case of the warm and fuzzies, you know, on that flight back to West Lafayette.
Yep. So there you have it. Book it down, bet the house on it. The Boilermakers are going to win in a low scoring game. Real quickly, before we wrap everything up, did just want to highlight, we spent some time Monday talking about the Purdue volleyball team heading to Kansas, and just wanted to remind everybody to give them a shout out and check them out this weekend. They start off actually tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern time, against Kansas, and then no rest for the weary at all. They turn right around and play number 9 ranked Creighton on Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And then they wrap up the weekend on Saturday against Tulsa. All three games will be on ESPN Plus. So make sure that you check that out. Give the Lady Boilers some support there. And we wish them the best of luck this weekend as they look to continue their undefeated year and stack up some more quality wins there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, so there it is. Hope you guys enjoyed the preview show. Again, kickoff 8:30 on the CW this weekend. It'll be very interesting to see kind of how this team comes out and responds. A lot of question marks out there after last week. Sam and I both think that they will answer the bell and come out with a sense of urgency and get the win. And let's hope that we have a more upbeat recap this weekend after last week.
Right.
Once again, we want to thank everybody for listening to the First and Goal podcast. Give us a shout out. Give us a 5-star review if you think we earn it. Much love, everybody, and boiler up.
Yes, sir.